Good morning, everyone. This is a little unusual, I know, but I know that you are good for it and you are people that follow the Holy Spirit, and that's what your pastors are going to do more than ever as we go forward. And we've always sought to do that. And he wanted me to share something with you. And also, I need to preface the prophecy that I'm going to give right now by letting you know that Pastor confirmed it when I gave it, when I shared it with him, and he pretty much had every point that was in the prophecy that either his spirit already knew or God was showing him, and there was a real solid confirmation. My job is to share it with you, and then you do with it what you will. Amen. I'm going to read you the prophecy, and then I'm going to have a few little bullet points and then read a psalm real quick to you. So I was spending time with the Lord on a Sunday night. Last Saturday, I got the honor of doing the first farewell service for someone, the first funeral. And the person that I did it for impacted my life profoundly. I didn't even know how until God kept speaking to me. A little child that came to show us how it's done, a fierce little warrior that survived the conception, being in the womb, being born. And her name is Leah, and Leah left a legacy in me that is very profound. And she just was such a classic example of how we need to be. She fought to live. She gave it everything she had. It was the most powerful thing I think I've ever seen in any human. And even in her death, she was glorious and so peaceful and so calm. So I was talking to the Lord about that. And, you know, I was just thanking him for having gotten to know her, because the message got across to me very well, that this is how it looks, even if you're 4.5 months of fighting with everything you have on this earth. And at that point, I got quiet, and this is what the Lord gave me, and this is the prophecy, and we are recording it on purpose so you can go back to it and hear it. In Jesus' name, it will. I pray that you have the ears to hear, people. It's very important. What he said was, "It's go time, Eva. Now is the time to be prepared." In the past, God would always use the word "get prepared" with me. And now he said, it is the time to be prepared. We must be prepared now. There's no more getting prepared, or we'll think about it, or we're going to get prepared now. And then he said, something major is coming. And then things after that. Call nights of prayer with the men of God. I need the roar of the prayers from these men of faith so I can move. They must pray especially for my protection, my provision, and my peace. And count each day, for they are numbered. And soon the king will split the skies. Today is the time to count the cost to follow me. This is very important, people. You must now wrap your head around what that is going to mean for you. You must count the cost now and vow to yourself, vow to God, that you will not deny the Lord, that you will not deny his name. You cannot go into these times, like starting with today forward, not knowing that you are committed to live and to die for the Lord. We are in that hour, people. We have sought to prepare you. We have tried to open up your eyes. It is now time for you to say, I will never, no matter what I face, will I ever deny the Lord or walk away from him. Because if you do not make that kind of a vow, you are leaving the door open for the enemy to erode you and break you down, and then you might go in the opposite way. People will go the opposite way. Christians will fall away. The only people that will end up at that place at that destination of the rapture will be those that have clung to the Lord, come hell or high water, no matter what, no matter who they lose, no matter who they gain, no matter what it costs them, they will never deny the Lord. And this is something that you must bring into your house, to your children, and teach them and explain to them. I can even put something together that you can go over with your children so that they can understand the importance of their stand for the Lord. So he said, today is the time to count the cost to follow me. Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Spend some time meditating before the Lord. Seek the Lord's face on this. Ask him if this is true. Find out for yourself. But he said, today is the time to count the cost to follow me. The cost is insignificant compared to the rewards and blessings that await you. Hold your ground. Do not be moved. Let your resolve be the very steps you take towards me. I will receive you, and I will give you the crown of life. Remember me. Do not forget that I am with you and in you. I will not forsake you, no matter what you face. I will give you the victory every time. You can and you will endure till the end. So, these days of prayer that we are going to set up are for the men. We're going to start with the men. And God literally said, men, as I have been trying to, possibly failing miserably, but I have been trying to explain to you the position that you hold with God on the earth. It is through your righteousness. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. It is through the roar of your spirit crying out to God that God will move. He will move for his people. He will move for you and your family. He will move for your church. We may not be able to affect too much on the earth because it is written, and whatever is written will come to pass. Neither you nor I can stop it. It is written that these things will happen. And if you are not aware, I will tell you right now that there is probably six major things that at any given moment can happen. I mean, at any given moment, that'll change the course of our future completely around the world. You know, some people are leaving. That's okay. That's your choice. You know, if God tells you to do that, you better do it. But I will tell you that the only protection will be where God is. So we need to ask God where we need to be. Don't take it upon yourself, because what's going to happen is going to affect the entire world. There is no safe place unless it's with God. And that's what we need to realize. Amen. Pastor and I are committed to take our last breath here if God wants us to. We are also open for him to say, okay, get out. It's time to go. He told Israel in the future to go out into the wilderness to be spared. I don't know what's going to happen, people. But now you must understand that you have to ask God, God, should we stay here? Should we move to another place? But I am telling you the truth. Whatever happens going forward is going to affect the entire world. It's not just us. So he wanted me to tell you that these are the days of Noah. He warned the people. He begged the people. The people did not listen, and the people mocked him until the door closed and it was too late. And we are here as representatives of such a thing as that. We are warning you. We are telling you. And there will come a time, people, well, you will scatter to get ready, and you will not be able to. The forces that are coming against us will not allow for us to have a moment of clarity and prepare the way we should be doing right now. I am to tell you to stock up at least 3 months' supply of food and water, and especially if you have children. I don't care if it's 3 cans every week. Put it aside. Let's stop going out. Let's stop spending money frivolously. I see people all the time out and about and enjoying life. Settle down for a minute. Get your house in order, please. I am begging you. And by the way, going forward, Pastor and I are going to speak to you as adults. We are not going to speak to you as sheep. We have had to hold back so much lest we offend. We have to watch our P's and our Q's. We have to be careful because we don't want to lose or offend anybody in the house of God. But if I speak strong to you, you have to understand in the spirit, there is no male nor female. I do not consider myself a woman. I don't hide behind my skirts. If God gives me something, I am going to give it. I will do it in love. And what I am doing this morning is completely out of love for you. So you are to prepare 3 months' supply. However you can do it. I mean, if you have to cancel your vacation and not go on vacation this winter or whatever, all the holidays that are coming, if you can't have a Christmas like we normally do, which is crazy, because all of that stuff is going to get left behind, people. Yes, we're at that place where you have to let go of everything you own. Because if you need to get out, like right now, that stuff might not be there when you come back at all. Get your heart in the right place. Do not get attached to anything. Not your favorite little diamond ring, not your favorite car, nothing. Now the only thing that matters is God and the people in your household that God gave you. I send out a link from this military guy, and he's strong, but he's awesome. I love people like that. He's also trying to help like so many other military people. And it's a link that says 6 things that you are to do to prepare. Some of you I already sent. I'm going to resend it, and I apologize to resending it to you. It's just a handful that I send it to, but I'm going to send it to the church at large because you need to hear it. It's very, very straightforward and to the point. And he told me on Sunday night that the only way to survive now is through a strong mind. Not even your spirit, people. If you have a weak mind, it'll affect what is in your spirit. I have been trying to teach on the mind probably the last 25 years. If your mind is not in agreement, if your mind right now is rejecting what I'm saying, then you're going to go right back. And a strong mind can only come from the Word of God. You cannot, just because you're a man, or just because you're an adult, just because you're an adult woman, and very intelligent, and I went to school, and I graduated, and I'm awesome, and I have a powerful career, that does not mean you are strong at all. We have seen it all, people, and we have gone to pray for people that were multi-millionaires who were going insane, people that were wanting to commit suicide, and these people are well accomplished, very successful in the world. A strong mind only comes from God. That's the only way that you can be strong, is through the Word of God. I'm going to read a psalm and then I am done. This is Psalm 27, and I urge you to write it down and maybe meditate on it. Maybe make this your heart cry when you pray and intercede for your family. The Lord said, in this psalm, David wrote it, and he said, "The Lord is my light." We are in darkness, but the Lord is our light and my salvation. Salvation here means liberty, deliverance, freedom, and prosperity. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who are we going to fear, people? Are we going to fear the Antichrist? Are we going to fear World War III? Are we going to fear the leadership that's rising up that is completely polluted and corrupted? Who are we going to be afraid of if God is with us? So the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Make the Lord the strength of your life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. That means I'm going to strive after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. People, one thing that we should hang on to is that. One thing I desire more than anything is to dwell in the house of the Lord. Hang on to your salvation. Do not take it for granted. And tell yourself, the only thing that matters going forward is that I make it to heaven, that I do not forfeit my place with God, that I do not walk away from my salvation. That is what we should cleave to more than anything else. And to inquire in his temple, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And people, we're going to see that day. I wish it wasn't true. But we are chosen for this time. We can do it. That Sunday night, I was still in shock from the pandemic and all the stuff that I've been learning about our country and reality and what's really going on. And God woke me up. Here you go, woke movement. God woke me up and I came alive and I am ready for whatever is coming. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And he is asking you to seek his face. How will you get strong? How will you be comforted? How can he provide that protection, that provision, and that peace if you're not seeking his face? Besides, whatever you put your attention to is what you're giving yourself to. If you're putting your attention to everything that's happening in the world, that's where your attention will be and your heart will run that way. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. That word take care of me means gather me to him, restore me, and receive me to him. Then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and that day is coming where people will turn against each other. When I went to Russia, people, they were doing that with the KGB. Relatives were turning in relatives just to get a piece of bread for themselves. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do not lose heart. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we're going to start praying and making sure that every family in this church, every person, every man, woman, child is covered. You know, there's a Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 154 or 145. And I'm going to do a research on it and send it to you in some scriptures that I'm putting together for you on protection. And it says that the Lord hovers over his creation. That means that he's going to hover in protection. There's going to be a dome of protection if we pray and we intercede the way he needs us to intercede. Amen. So that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. This is your instruction, people. Wait on the Lord. That word wait means to bind together, praise, and to twist up in him. When you're waiting on the Lord, you are twisting yourself into him and him into you. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. And that is what we are supposed to be doing right now. I cannot wait for that first day of the men praying together. Ladies, I'm working with God on something for us as well. And then maybe eventually we will merge ourselves together as men and women. By then, hopefully we will have our building. I do want to exhort you on this one last thing. During the pandemic, I certainly ran across a little bit of irreverence towards Pastor and I. A lot of it had to do with family, immediate family. And it's easy to do. Jesus said, you know, a prophet's not recognized in his own hometown. I get it. I understand it. It's part of the price that we've always paid. But Pastor and I know this one thing. We've talked about it. That if there is not a respect for the office that we hold, not for us, I'm not asking you to treat me in any different way. But if you do not have respect for the office that we hold as pastors, as the anointed that God has sent to help you, then when it comes time for us to pray for you, your prayers will be hindered. Because how can God move through these two people that are not being respected as representatives of God? Now, I am not God. I'm not telling you to receive everything we say as completely God and 100%, not at all. But we stand in an office, people. And we have lived for that office. I have never known a man of duty like my husband. He is a man of duty. He will give everything, family, wife, children, his own health, his own everything, to serve the Lord. And I have learned to be like that from him. So that merits some respect. That we have been here, we have been faithful. We have never left you. We have never forsaken you. Our heart remains with you. And so I am asking you to meditate on this a little bit and understand that you are dealing with two people that I know beyond a shadow of any doubt that God loves dearly. God loves Pastor and I because of our heart towards him. And because we love him so much, we are good to his people. So please, you don't have to treat us any differently, but just remove the irreverence and think that when I speak to you, I try to reach out to people during the pandemic, and I won't even tell you how I was met with some of that. Some of it was an exhortation, some of it was encouragement, some of it was pleading and how it was rejected, and I was in awe that people were doing that. And you may think, well, you know, they're just people. But if you continue in that path of irreverence, there's going to come a time where you're going to reject the Lord himself. It's just the way it is, people. You know, the Lord said in his word, how can you love man who you can see? But how can you hate man who you can see and yet say that you love God who you cannot see? So you can see us, you know. And if you can, by faith, trust us that we're not going to hurt you. We're not going to get crazy. There's all kinds of doctrines and all kinds of, you know, conspiracy things being taught right now, even by ministers. We're doing our best to hear from God, and that's all. I love you dearly. I pray you heard this prophecy. I'm going to type out the prophecy, and I'm going to send it to the church at large. And I love you.
I'm going to just unclose it.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. You know what? This is something that maybe you guys need to take and pray over and seek God about. I don't want to try and jump into a message and then into the message and then, you know, water this down. This is something that I believe that is worth considering for everybody. Amen. And I really believe that we need to take it to heart, people. We need to take what's going on to heart. I know as much as you know, we want to believe that things can go back to whatever we think or deem is normal, that it's going to go back to that. It's not. You know, there's something that has happened. And I'll be honest with you, in my own life, I never dreamed, because I always saw things moving more glacially slow when it came to our society. And over the last 10, 15 years, things have accelerated that I never would have imagined that we'd get there. And so, you know, I'd really believe this is something that we need to consider. Amen. Like Eva said, just some smart things to do. That whole thing of preparation, get a little bit prepared. And like she said, though, you can't count on that. You can't count on preparation. You got to count on God taking care of you no matter what. But still, be like the ant. You know, don't be lazy. Be like the ant, you know, that he prepares in the summer. He prepares, you know, for winter. And so that's all we need to do, is just be prepared, people. Amen. There's plenty of information online if you ever want to go look it up. That's up to you. But just being prepared a little bit would be really helpful. I mean, it'll really help you. Amen. All right. Praise God. Let's pray and close up. And I'm going to just turn you guys loose early today. This was something that was a lot to take in. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for us, Father God, that we would really heed the call, Father God, to prepare. Father, you're waking up the virgins, Father God, the 10 virgins, Father. The cry has gone out to wake up. Father, that cry goes out every generation. But Father, this generation seems to be pushing it harder and further than ever imagined, Father. And Lord, I thank you right now that we are awake, Father God. And I'm asking, Father God, that as being the wise virgins, Father God, that we trim our lamps and we prepare. We make sure we have the oil now, Father God, before it comes time to start heading towards, Father God, whatever that means in whatever way, Father God, towards the dinner, Father God, the marriage feast, Father God. Whatever that means, Father God, that we prepare the way. That we prepare our hearts, Father God. We get ready for this, Father God. We take it seriously, Father. Life is not a joke, Father God. We can't fix this at the last minute. Just as the foolish virgins found out, Father God, they thought they could wait to the last minute and that they could just take from other people, Father God, and get taken care of. And it didn't work for them, Father. They were completely left out. Father, I pray for this church that we not be like that, Father God. That we be at least one church, Father God, that's fully prepared, Father. Our hearts are in the right place. We're set up, Jesus, and we're looking for you, Father. Jesus, it was funny because when I played the music this morning, I didn't realize that, you know, that the one song, Father, about us being a church that's waiting on you, Father God. Father, I pray for us that we become that church that is waiting on you, Father God. Waiting on you, Jesus, to return. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord.